For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The pitch. A ground ball hit to third, fielded by Mastroboni to second for one. Swanson to first. Double play. Ball game over, and the Cubs complete the sweep as they beat the Nationals in the finale 14-1. The Cubs go 8-1 on this 9-game road trip.
All right, that's Zach Zabin, who's on the call tonight with Ron Coomer and Gabe Ramirez with pregame coverage right here on 670 The Score. Tony Andracki has joined us from Marquee Sports, talking Cubs baseball. And Tony, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Tony, this is the first time I've ever spoken to you. So tell me a little about yourself. How long have you been at Marquee?
Since we launched. So before we launched, actually, I was NBC Sports Chicago and then headed over to Marquee in January of 20. And we launched in February of 2020. And then we all know what happened in mid-March of 2020 and how things have gone since then.
Yes. And so you cover the Cubs, obviously, on a daily basis. And this ball club has really turned it around 20-8. Since July 31st, I mean, this club is on a major, major run now. So when people say, okay, is it the competition they're playing or is everyone just in the groove? What is it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I do think the competition is absolutely a factor. When you have 18 straight games against an opponent that's below 500, you know, just rebuilding clubs, almost all of them. I mean, there was just a couple of weeks ago that the Pirates were thought to, you know, potentially be like in the outside running for one of the wild card spots. Obviously, that has changed here in the past 2-3 weeks. But yeah, I mean, I think when you're playing the Tigers and Marlins and Nationals and Blue Jays and stuff, like these are all teams that, you know, didn't have hopes of a playoff for, you know, at least the last few months. The Marlins were a surprise contender last year, but I think that's a big factor. But really, you know, they have faced good pitching. I mean, the Pirates haven't been winning games, but they have a lot of really good pitchers. I mean, Mitch Keller and Paul Skeens, everybody knows about Paul Skeens, but then Jared Jones has great stuff as well. And they have a bunch of guys out of their bullpen that are throwing 100 with some nasty stuff. And yet the Cubs offense has just been putting up runs against whoever they've been facing for the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks now. And, you know, it's been a historic pace they've been on. And we've been asking all year, when is this offense going to turn things around? When are they going to show up? I guess the end of August was the answer. But it's been incredible. I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to average 10 runs a game for a week and a half like that, even against the level of opponents that they're playing.
Yeah. And I mean, they've got the Pirates. They should win this series. And, you know, Pittsburgh got off to a nice start, but reality has set in. They're 10 under 500, but you got Pittsburgh for 3. The Yankees series is going to be unbelievable. Wrigley Field will be rocking this weekend. I mean, to get a ticket for that series is hard enough. I mean, I don't know what you've seen, what's going on with ticket prices for that series, but it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, it will be nuts with, like, Anthony Rizzo coming back for the Yankees here. And the schedule still seems so novel and new because it's every 2 years now we're going to see the Yankees at Wrigley Field or the Red Sox at Wrigley Field or the Cubs in Boston or whatever. But still, right now, it is more of a novelty because the Yankees, you know, don't often come to Wrigley Field. Same with, you know, Cubs going to Fenway or whatever else. So it will become a lot more commonplace, you know, in 6-10 years from now. It won't be quite so novel, but for now, it's definitely awesome. And I think, you know, for two teams that have their eyes set on October, I think the Yankees obviously have a very, very good chance. They're 99% or whatever chance to make the playoffs. And right now they're kind of just competing in the division. But the Cubs are really fighting for their playoff lives. They're only three back, but with the tiebreaker, it's more like four. So they need every win that they could possibly scrape together right now against the Pirates, against the Yankees, against the Dodgers next week in L.A., like whatever it may be.
Yeah, so you got the Yankees for three. Then they go on the road. Dodgers, you know, I don't know, Tony, what to make of the Dodgers now because their pitching staff. I mean, we just saw Kershaw. He's going to be out for a while with that toe situation. What is their starting pitching looking like?
It's a great question, and it's exactly the same thought that I have. Is I don't know what to make of them either. I mean, the fact that they're right up there with the Cubs in terms of the best record in August, and you know, since July 31st, which is crazy because you know, in that time, you know, Freddie Freeman missed 9 games or 8 games for you know some family stuff, and as you said, the pitching is just. They've run into a wall. There's been so many pitching injuries, and I feel like the Dodgers always have a lot of pitching injuries, but this year more than ever. And you know, even a guy like Walker Buehler has come back from an injury and hasn't been pitching or looking like his past self either. So they've somehow pieced it together. They've won a lot of games, and you know, sure, having a guy like Shohei who's going to go 50-50 this year, and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, you know, that makes things a lot easier. Then you factor in like Max Muncy, Will Smith, and all that kind of stuff. Like for sure, that offense is dynamic. But I am a little surprised just given the lack of pitching depth and all the injuries that they've had, how they're still competing the way they are. But yeah, that's going to be a tough series. And you know what? Like just in the past couple of years as well, the Cubs have not played their best baseball in LA. So I think that series next week, and really just the 6 games coming up against the Yankees and Dodgers are going to be huge to tell us what this team is and if they're going to get any sort of, you know, playoff run here over the final 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, right now the Dodgers with a 4-1 lead over the Diamondbacks. And again, the Cubs are chasing Arizona for that wild card spot along with Atlanta and San Diego. Flaherty has pitched 5 2/3 innings, struck out 7, walked 3, and then they've gone to the bullpen right now. But, you know, I look at the Dodgers, and I'm just wondering, you know, if they can get some people healthy, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to get people healthy. I mean, some of these injuries have just sidetracked them so much. And I mean, this is a payroll. What's their payroll? Over $300 million?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's pretty astronomical, yeah.
Mm. So let's get back to what's going on then with the Cubs. Is there one player that you can credit for turning around this surge?
It's a good question. I think I might have a little bit of a cop-out and go P. Carl Armstrong and Miguel Amaya because I think really all year it was the 8 and 9 spots and in a lot of ways the 7 spot, which Dansby Swanson has filled for much of the season as well. It was those spots in the batting order that the Cubs just did not get any production out of for the first 4 months or so of the season. They just anybody they kind of trotted out there struggled there, and they were well below league average in all of those areas, you know, all the offensive areas from those couple spots in the lineup. And it just felt for May and June when the team was really struggling and the lineup was really struggling that you kind of had like 2/3 of a lineup only that you were competing with on a daily basis because the bottom three guys were, you know, had like 250, 260 on base percentages. So the chance of them kind of running into rallies was difficult or flipping the lineup over and going on runs and putting together these like bulk innings where you're scoring 2, 3, 4, 5 runs without, you know, without a 3-run homer or something like that. They just weren't happening for 2+ months of the season during that stretch in May and June and even for good parts of April or July as well. But that's what we've seen. I mean, they've had, I forget the exact number. I think Pat Hughes said on the Marquee broadcast yesterday, it was like, you know, they've scored 6+ runs in the 9th inning alone and like 4 of the games on the road trip, which is incredible. And they're putting together all those innings. It's the entire lineup 1 through 9 that's going that's producing right now. And PCA and Amaya are huge parts of that. PCA, because he just kind of wreaks havoc on the bases. He creates chaos, whether it's with a bunt or a base hit, or, you know, he has that Javi Baez effect where he forces the other team into errors all the time. But also, I mean, he's hitting the ball well and he's driving the ball well. And Miguel Amaya, since he made swing change, and my colleague Andy Martinez had a great story about how Nelson Cruz helped make this swing change with Miguel Amaya. But, you know, he has the power now, and he's been getting a lot of hits and all of that. So he's contributing. Dansby Swanson has turned things around. It's really, I think, a combination of those three guys extending this lineup and helping the other guys at the top that have been steady all year, the Bellingers and Haps and Suzuki's and that kind of stuff.
So are you drinking the Cubs juice as I am? You know, I'm already thinking about, regardless what happens this year, I'm thinking about 2025. And I'm thinking about Corbin Burnes in a Cubs uniform in the starting rotation. Can you see that?
I don't know. I think that they definitely should be, you know, shopping towards the top of the market for starting pitching. Kyle Hendricks coming off the books. They have exciting young pitchers for sure. I mean, Cade Horton, we just saw Jordan Wicks yesterday. Ben Brown is out there as well. You know, some of these other guys, Hayden Wesneski, and you know, some of the guys that have proven that they can get big league hitters out. Horton, not yet, but I mean, he's one of the top pitching prospects in all baseball, and there's definite buzz and excitement. But the thing is, they haven't stayed healthy. I mean, Wicks has missed several months. Brown has been out for several months. Wesneski as well. So has Horton. And like I said, Horton hasn't even made his big league debut. So I think, you know, you feel really good about Tyone, about Steele, about Imanaga. But then I think you need at least one more starter in that rotation. And then I think you kind of need to figure out what this offense is. And up until 2 weeks ago, you know, I was thinking, okay, they need to add a hitter somehow. They need to shake things up. You know, figuring out whether Cody Bellinger is going to opt out of his contract or return next season is obviously question number one, but you'll find that out early in the off season. But then how do you figure all these guys out? How do you get them all into the lineup and make sure that the offense produces at a higher clip than it has for much of this season? And I don't know the answer there, but like I said, these past 2 weeks have been really interesting as well. So I think coming to a conclusion about what this offense is, what you expect from it in 2025, and then making moves around that is really going to be one of the big questions of the offseason. And then, like you said, who they add in the starting pitching in the rotation, and then what they do in the bullpen, because Hector Neris is gone. Drew Smyly is going to be gone. Some of these other guys, Jorge Lopez is going to be a free agent. Adbry Alzolay is out for next year. So what do they do in terms of the bullpen, I think, is going to be something I'm going to be looking at this winter for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I want to stay focused on 24. This club is making an unbelievable run. It's going to be a great month of September, just from a baseball standpoint, from a fan's involvement. They're going to be engaged where maybe 6-7 weeks ago, you know, I was thinking, you got to be kidding me. That, you know, I was saying to myself, the Cubs and the Blue Jays, the two most disappointing teams in all of baseball, and now here we are, because this is a marathon. I mean, you play 162 games. You're playing every day. Think about this. You're playing every day, Tony, and here we've come down to September the 2nd, and you're on the verge of leapfrogging and perhaps getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's exactly what they wanted to do and what they believed they could do. You know, the percentages are not in their favor, even still with this 6-game winning streak and an 8-1 road trip. I think it's still below 8% on Fangraphs or on ESPN for like projected playoff odds. But I think the Cubs in that room believe that they can do it. And why not? Especially with the way they've been playing. They're not only the hottest team in baseball, but they've always been a team that has a lot of talent that, like you said, I think have been underperforming for much of this year. So it's not really a surprise to anybody, I think, that the Cubs are potentially competing for a playoff spot if you were to kind of rewind back to April or going into the season. But, yeah, certainly the way May and June played out and the way they really fell under 500, you know, 8-9 games, whatever it was their low watermark this year. I think it's a testament to those guys for turning things around, a testament to a guy like Council for kind of steering the ship. And you know, there's never really been any panic from this group, and they believe they can do this. And now it kind of comes down to the Braves and the Mets ahead of them, and if those two teams can kind of stave the Cubs off or not. And like you said, too, I mean, September 2nd, so we have exactly 4 weeks remaining in the baseball season. I'm really curious to see what it is. And honestly, I'm really excited because last year was exciting, even if Cubs fans didn't have the outcome they wanted. But I think still, like, anytime your team is really in it in September and you're talking about a couple games here or there that decide the difference, I mean, that's exciting. That's what, as a fan, you want, as a baseball fan, and then us in the media, what we want to cover is, like, exciting, meaningful September baseball, and the Cubs have given us to it.
Hey, before I let you go, I just want to backtrack a couple of things that we talked about, Tony. Tony Adraki is with us from Marquee Sports. Number one, the situation with Bellinger. What's your gut feeling on that?
My gut right now is that he comes back. I think he's had a strong year, but not the year like he had last year, where if it was at this point last year and he was under the same contract situation that he is right now, I would say, oh, yeah, he's opting out. He's going to get a nice deal, a long-term deal. Obviously, that didn't come into play for him. You know, he was only on a one-year deal with the Cubs in 2023, went into free agency. There's really nothing out there, I guess, that he wanted. I don't know the exact offers or anything from other teams. But this Cubs offer is kind of a year-to-year sort of deal with them. So he could opt out. He could come back and make the, you know, $27 to $30 million again next year. And I think that makes the most sense for him and even for the Cubs right now, just because between a couple stints on the IL and then his power production has been down a little bit. I think it makes the most sense personally that, like, he will come back. And I don't know that he does better contract-wise if he were to hit the free agent market this winter.
Okay. The other point is, you know, I've been intrigued by Ohtani because he flirted around with the bullpen activity the other day before a game. He was tossing, you know, just going through, stretching out. Is he expected to pitch this year?
No, he's not. They've said that he won't. I mean, these things can change if they make maybe a deep playoff run. I wonder if he comes out of the bullpen or something. I doubt they would even do that given how much money they're owed and, you know, the long-term deal for 10 years for it. But then again, like, I mean, I covered the Cubs team when Kyle Schwarber blew out his knee in early April and then made his return for the World Series and DH'd and ran the bases and all of that. So I think crazier things have happened. I mean, the Dodgers have said that they don't plan on him pitching at all this year. So I'm not anticipating that. And the plan for sure is to, you know, build him back up to 2025. But I'm with you too in the fact that, like, he has been throwing and throwing bullpens and stuff. I mean, if he ever starts facing live hitters, even just off to the side, like not in any sort of, you know, sim game or anything like that, like, I think that would be interesting and that would kind of make my radar go up. But as of now, I'm not anticipating seeing Shohei Ohtani on the mound at all.
Okay. Speaking of the Dodgers, they've had another run. They're up 6-1 over the Diamondbacks at ball game of the seventh inning of play. Cincinnati continues to lead Houston 5-2 that ball game of the sixth. Cardinals lost to Milwaukee 9-3. And let's see, Baltimore now 13-3 over the White Sox in the ninth inning. Have you seen the White Sox play much? Tony, I know you're so locked in with the Cubs of the National League, but have you seen the Sox?
Fortunately, I've not, you know, had to be subjected to watching a bunch of the games live or even really like on TV that much. But certainly I've seen, you know, box scores and caught highlights and stuff and followed along in what they're doing. But yeah, the few games I covered where the Cubs played against them, it was interesting for sure. I mean, those were really exciting and intense games, and the Cubs needed some comebacks just to pull out, you know, a 4-0 series sweep over the White Sox this season. But yeah, it's been a tough year on the South Side for those guys.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering from a talent standpoint, Tony, how many of those players are journeyman players? How many of those players are young players that have a high ceiling? How many of their players are just fill-in guys? I don't know the current talent level other than wins and losses, which ultimately is the bottom line, but I don't know how many of those players have an MLB future and to what degree.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that completely because I think the jury's still out on a lot of those guys. But I think most of them are fill-in players, to be honest. There's a few guys, a few younger guys maybe who are kind of trying to form their path and like in majors for sure. I think Miguel Rojas, the guy they got from the Dodgers in the trade at the deadline is a guy who was highly thought of as a prospect, and he can certainly, as an infielder, you know, he may be able to carve out a path for himself in the big leagues, you know, kind of in the present and short-term future. But does he have a long future in the big leagues? I don't know. And then some of the other guys, Andrew Vaughn was a high pick, third or fourth overall, whatever that was a few years ago, and he struggled this year. Luis Robert is, you know, a highly thought of guy, but he's had a tough season. Andrew Benintendi, I still think, had the biggest contract in White Sox history as a free agent. And he's really struggled, but he had a pretty nice career in, with Kansas City and with the Red Sox before that. So they have some guys for sure. But yeah, I think for the most part, they're fill-ins. And by the time the White Sox will be competitive again, I don't know how many of these guys will be on the roster, but I would imagine very few, like less than a handful might be on the roster by the time the White Sox are competing again.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Tony, a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, that's Tony Andracki, the Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports Network. Incidentally, in that Dodger ball game, 6-1 over Arizona, as they go to the bottom of the seventh, Freddie Freeman has reached the 20 home run mark for the 11th time in his career. And again, the Dodgers in front. I think it's pretty safe to say Freeman one day will be in Cooperstown. In a moment, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell, the manager of the Chicago Cubs. We're going to find out what he had to say prior to his media scrum and during the course of pregame activities right here from Wrigley Field on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
We just played that CBS vignette, right? And the guy's talking about Billy Napier, the head coach of Florida. And again, Florida did not look good against Miami. I mean, the U dominated them. They already got him fired after one game. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's down bad right now. He might be the first one. If it goes the way that it's going, he came into the year.
Can we give a little grace period? It was one
game. It's the SEC, Chuck. You know that.
I know that.
It just means more, they say.
And you know, it's amazing. I know we're going to get to Craig Counsell, who, by the way, went to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, huge win. Huge win. And they got a cupcake schedule. They are soft schedule. And you can already book them. They're in the final 12, right? You can just put it in right now. Book it. Who they got coming up next? Northern Illinois? I mean, come on. 670 The Score can beat Northern Illinois. But I'm just saying, with all due respect to the Huskies, I'm just saying that, like, so, like, the SEC, all these guys are, have you seen the buyout? Have you seen the buyout for Dabo Swinney? I mean, Jimbo Fisher got a buyout for, what, $78 million?
Yeah, but... like,
and Napier has a buyout for, like, 30?
20, yeah, 26.
Okay, so, make me a liar for $4 million.
If he fired... No, you're right. If he is fired, then he would be the second largest buyout in history behind Jimbo Fisher. So, like, that was so ridiculous when you look at...
Are you talking about Napier or Dabo or Napier?
Napier.
Yeah.
Napier.
Because Dabo's not going anywhere.
No, Dabo's not going anywhere. But if Napier is fired, $26 million would be the buyout. And like Jimbo, I'm not going to say we're never going to see that again, but Texas A&M was so desperate they paid whatever, upwards of $100 million or $50 million to get rid of him. But coming in second and by a large distance would be Napier if he's fired this year.
I mean, the amount of money that is going on for football, basketball, baseball, more power to them. Hey, listen, no one is forcing these schools to pay this money. They've got the money. They got the cash. They want to make a major, major statement to their alums and the financial base of those who follow that university. All I'm saying is that CBS spot we just ran, where that guy is already ripping that coach after one game and saying he's done, he may not even make it through the season. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, there is no way that where Florida is today and where they have been, they're going to settle for this.
No.
So they got to turn it around quickly.
And also of note, they paid Dan Mullen $12 million.
Yes,
to get rid
right.
of him in 2021.
And you see what Dan Mullen did on Twitter?
Yeah.
Where he retweeted.
Things are going great in Gainesville right now.
And just think, at one point in Gainesville, at the University of Florida, they had Billy Donovan, back-to-back NCAA champion. You know, Billy Donovan, people think, oh, he just, you know, he got lucky. No. Billy Donovan put Florida basketball on the map. Lon Kruger took them to the Final Four. And Lon Kruger, excellent coach. Billy Donovan changed the complete culture of Florida basketball. That's why his name is on the court.
Yeah, those two.
Billy Donovan was a sustainable winning coach.
Those two national championship winning teams are still some of the best college basketball teams of my lifetime.
Oh, of any lifetime, of my lifetime. And I'm triple your age. But I'm just saying, hey, Alex, maybe not triple. But all I'm saying is, that, I mean, you had Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer. You had three players in the starting five that played in the NBA that were first-round picks. So, I mean, Billy Donovan was a great coach of Florida, and he had Urban Meyer as the football coach. And I'm not a big Urban Meyer guy. You know, he's kind of smarmy and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, the guy could coach. Okay. And so bottom line is that, so Florida, I mean, that level and that standard, and the same thing in Florida State losing to Georgia Tech. Where was that game in Dublin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I think they play again tonight, I believe.
Yeah.
Florida State's on.
Yeah.
So
Boston
if they
College,
start out 0-2.
Do they have Boston College?
I believe so.
Okay. So
yes. Boston College.
Yeah, and Boston College hasn't been very good for a number of years.
No, but neither had Georgia Tech, and they lost to them in week one.
True. All right, we're going to talk Cubs, right? We got Craig Counsell. He's lining up, and let's hear from the manager of the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, when guys are hitting the ball hard, it probably puts the pitcher in a you know, bad place, kind of like what he's thinking of, like, what's going on. So I think that part can kind of feed onto itself, and then, you know, but in the end, it's the hitters kind of collectively and sequentially just keep having good at bats and putting pressure on them. And I think we've had a lot of guys, we've had innings where we've strung together, you know, six out of seven really, really solid at bats, and that spells a big inning, and that's hard to do in baseball right now. And we did a great job of it on the road trip.
Is there a possibility, depending on what goes down the next few days, that you change your rotation going toward the weekend?
I don't think, no. I mean, I think we're at where we're at. We don't have enough games left. We're just going to pitch our guys in order and. Why?
Well, I mean, you've given most of the guys an extra day as starters.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, you know, maybe Managua would get an extra couple, you know.
No plans right now to do that, no.
But you always have an A, B, and C, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How about with Kyle? Is there any plan with him to get him back in the
rotation? Kyle's available today in the bullpen, and so he'll be available today. And we'll go from there.
Historically, when you get into these type of situations, September playoff bursts kind of on the line, have you, reached into your managerial cookbook or something like that? Or do you kind of just, you got enough guys in there to know what it takes and you kind of let them release themselves, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think the situation you're in kind of dictates like how you're gonna, what you're gonna do, and so we're in a situation now where we're chasing for, you know, that's what we're doing. We're chasing, and that in itself creates urgency. It just does, and that's good. It kind of like does it for you almost, and so. That's how we have to play. We know we have to play at a really high level because we've got significant ground still to make up. But you know, we've also, in a sense, earned this, and we've earned the right to have some fun this month and to play some good baseball and see what happens.
Consistency of the lineup is something that the players talk about. Is it, you think it's just something that gives them a comfort level, knowing that there's, you know, Paredes comes in here regardless of what he does, he's in the lineup every day. Is there a comfort level for him and everyone else that, who's going to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think every team's different. This is just the nature of this team that we've had a fairly once we've kind of gotten healthy here and past post trade deadline, that this is kind of our personnel, and it fits for our personnel to be to have a pretty fairly consistent lineup. That's just to me is managing like this group. This is what this group needs, and it's what's best for this group.
So you wouldn't say that's your general preference as a manager to keep things.
Well, I think it's good. In a way it is, because it means you're healthy and, you know, you got guys that play every day. Like, that's great. Just it's not the situation that rolls out all the time.
You see any connection between when you made the statement in here a couple weeks ago that Pete was going to be your everyday center fielder most of the time and him kind of taking off? You see any connection with that?
No, I mean, I don't think that was a very bold statement on my part, but maybe it felt like it. I'm not sure, but no, I mean, I think, you know, that would have probably been a while ago that Pete, and maybe when Pete was still struggling a little bit. But I mean, I think, look, Pete's a talented player, and he's a player that, you know, you think by just continuing to play and get experience that he's going to get better. I think he has shown us kind of like, I don't know why everybody doesn't get to see that he's really good at some things and his preparation and his routines. And that's going to lead, you combine that with talent and that's going to lead to success. Everybody wants it yesterday. You know, we want success yesterday. Just when was kind of the question. And, hopefully this has been a little bit of a breakthrough.
I know you'll tell me to ask him, but psychologically, obviously, you could have just relaxed him enough to understand that he can just go play baseball.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I never had a conversation with Pete and told him you're the center fielder. I haven't had that conversation.
Told us.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Back to Taylor's question about, being contagious and everything.
Are we seeing sort of the opposite of squeezing the bat in the sense, like, is there a relaxation too? Just go out and play and relax, and you know, the harder you try in hitting, the less it's going to happen. Is this kind of the opposite of those months where we were asking, are they squeezing the bats?
Yeah, I mean that. Look, this is the I haven't figured it out because of this, like, because of what happened in May and what's happened the last 10 days. I have not figured out hitting or have figured out offense. You know, it confuses you even more, frankly, right? But I know, you know, you have to – a baseball season is a marathon, and you have to give it – it has to breathe, and you don't always get to pick. You know, you don't get to pick. And I think, you know, we've hit a good stretch right now. You know, we've got to, like I said, we got our work cut out for us, but certainly playing at a pretty high level right now. And all phases, I would like, I know we've talked about offense all day. I would talk about the defense a lot on this road trip as well. I talk about the base running a lot on this road trip. I think we played well in a lot of areas. And that's been a part of winning as well. I mean, the play Isak Paredes made yesterday is a 3-run homer. You know, that's like hitting a 3-run homer. And so I think we've played well in a lot of areas. And look, I think, you know, it is confidence for sure. And we got some guys that are feeling really good at the plate and swinging the bat good, and that's a good thing.
Last year, this was a team that was positioned well going into September, and you know, ultimately they were you know, obviously chased down. How do you think an experience like that, especially with some of the veterans that they have in there, can help in this opposite situation where you guys are the ones that have been playing loose and, you know, have this?
I'm not really sure that it matters, honestly. I mean, I think you know, there's a competition out there today. There's a guy trying to get you out, and we're trying to get the other guy out, and it's what happens on the field in the next couple hours. And I'm not sure last year's, you know, I think we're all a product of our experiences to some degree, for sure. We all use our experiences to help us into the next moment. But I think the better way maybe to do it is to kind of live in the now and live in the now of the competition that we got going tonight. And let that, you know, determine what's going to happen.
All right, that is Craig Counsell, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, the hottest team in Major League Baseball, period. We've got some scores. Gunnar Henderson tied a Orioles franchise record for shortstops, his 34th home run. Baltimore routed the White Sox 13-3. The Sox have now lost 11 straight games, and they go to 31-108. Wow. Dodgers with a 6-3 lead over the Diamondbacks. That ball game is the eighth inning to play. That's good news for the Cubs. Elsewhere, Reds 5-2 over the Astros. That ball game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Tigers and Padres just underway in the first inning in San Diego. Elsewhere, earlier this afternoon, Milwaukee ripped the Cardinals 9-3. And let's see, Cleveland a final just in. The Guardians on the road beat Kansas City 4-2. We're going to wrap things up in a moment. We got Cubs baseball, Cubs and Buccos from Wrigley Field in a moment. This is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score. And welcome back. We're just minutes away from taking you live to Wrigley Field for a ball game tonight, the first of three with the Cubs against the Pittsburgh Pirates. White Sox, by the way, as we told you, fell to Baltimore 13-3. Lamont Pope, who covers the White Sox, said they need to go to 12-11 in their final 23 games to avoid tying the 62 Mets of 40-120 for the most losses in modern-day Major League Baseball history. So they lose for the 108th time this afternoon. They've lost 11 in a row. They are 77 games under 500. 77 games under 500. Wow. Chris Flexen, a pitcher for the White Sox, winless in his last 20 starts. He's 0-10 during that stretch. Didn't Anthony Young, remember Anthony Young? He pitched for the Mets and Cubs. He had a horrendous stretch as well during his run as a major league pitcher. But wow, oh my goodness, 77 games under 500. So, Alex Kuhn, Alex, thank you for your time today. Alex, what did you learn on the show today? Did you take anything out of today's show?
Yeah, that you really, really don't like mayo.
Is that's true. I do not. I am not a mayo guy. You will not find mayo in my refrigerator.
You don't like mayo, and Chuck, you are bullish on the Chicago Bears.
I am.
As bullish as anybody.
I am. I love the Bears. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts watching the Bears on TV. I got Cheetos. I got Doritos. I got Mr. Pibb.
Bag of Donuts?
And donuts from Do Right. I go to Do Right, I get my donuts, I'm all set.
Do you have those things at the same time, though, or do you spread them out? Like, you got to separate the Cheetos from the donuts,
buffet,
right?
You know?
Oh, okay.
Yes, and that's why I work out every morning. So, what did I learn today on the show? Number one, as always, thank you very much for your great, great attitude and for providing us with some terrific guests. What did I learn? I learned that Bears fans are ready to roll. They are ready to roll with Caleb Williams, a future Hall of Famer who's going to have a suite at Fawcett Stadium in Canton, Ohio. Is that what they still call the stadium? Who knows whether they've gone commercial, but it used to be Fawcett Stadium in Canton, Ohio. And I have learned that Caleb Williams will have a suite in his honor when he guides the Bears to multiple Super Bowls, and he will be in the Hall of Fame one day enshrined in Canton, Ohio.
So I learned that you're bullish on the Bears, and you learned that the fans out there are also bullish on
yes,
the Bears.
That's right.
Like Hall of Fame, Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowls, you said, right?
Yes, multiple.
All right, I'm writing it down because when this happens, you can laugh in my face earlier because I was like, okay, well, let's get the first one first. But you're like, no, Alex, no. Multiple.
Alex, multiple. And I'm telling you right, what would I tell you about the game? The Bears are favored by 4.5 points.
Yeah, also, that's the other thing I learned, that you're taking the Bears and the points.
To cover
the spread. Yeah, you said by 10 plus.
I think they're going to blow them out. I think it's going to be a terrific afternoon. You said mid-60s, right?
That is correct.
Okay, mid-60s. It's going to be a beautiful day, and the Bears are going to take it to the Titans. And honestly, the Titans are a blip. They have no shot. I mean, number one, their quarterback loves mayo, and that's problem number one for Tennessee. Well, I mean, who's the coach again for Tennessee?
It would be Brian Callahan. First year head coach.
And where is he from?
I think he came from the Bengals? Cincinnati. Yeah,
okay.
He's from the Bengals.
Okay, so he's going to lose his first NFL game as a head coach. Hey, it happens. So what are you going to say? But really, you're going to name me. If you were to see a member of the Tennessee Titans walk on Michigan Avenue, would you recognize him? No.
I might be able to recognize Will Levis,
really?
The mayo guy.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I'm kind of a college football nerd. Most people know they could not.
Okay. Alex, I'm just saying you got some issues here.
I know. Okay. I know. I don't like mayo, though, just to be clear.
Thank you.
I'm not one of those people.
All right. Well, anyway, we've had a lot of fun today, and we're going to have more fun listening to Cubs baseball with Zach, and we got Ron, and we've got Gabe Ramirez with pregame coverage right here on 670 The Score. Many thanks to everyone who participated. And then we've got Tyler Butterball coming in for you, Alex. So there you go.
He's here. He's ready.
He's here. He's ready. And so are we. And I hear the music, so I got to get out. Because if I go past that, then the Cubs Network gets in trouble, and I get in trouble for Mitch Rosen.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want to have that.
No. That will not happen. Anyway, this is Chuck Swirsky, Joe Bag of Donuts saying thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Time to go home!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.